Pushkin.
Hello, revisionist history listeners. This is producer Jacob Smith. You might remember me from such episodes as I Love You, Waymo, and Hamlet Was Wrong. I'm dropping into the feed today to share another project I've been working on this past year with the Pushkin team. It's a serialized show called Deep Cover. It's hosted by the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Jake Halpern, and we tell true stories about crime, double lives, and corruption. Season 1 was about an FBI agent who infiltrated a biker gang and then followed a series of clues that inadvertently led to the U.S. invasion of a foreign country. And now, we're ready to bring you an equally epic tale with Season 2. Season 2 of Deep Cover, Mobland, tells the story of a high-rolling lawyer who fixed court cases for the infamous Chicago Outfit. He did this for years, until one day when he decided to betray the mob. He started working with the FBI to try and bring them down. As part of reporting the story, we spoke with everyone from FBI agents to mobsters to innocent bystanders, and of course, the lawyer at the center of it all. It's a fully immersive podcast that includes long-forgotten wiretap recordings from the 80s.
Hello.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Bob.
Voice acting by Michael Imperioli.
I got a hold of the truth. You want a piece of it?
And it features original music from Revisionist History's very own Luis Guerra. I hope you have as much fun listening to the show as we did making it. Deep Cover, Mobland is out now, airing weekly wherever you get your podcasts. And you can get the entire season right now, ads-free, by becoming a Pushkin Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts or at pushkin.fm/plus. Okay, here's the preview.
Here's the first thing I need to tell you about Robert Cooley. Officially, legally, he no longer exists. He's a ghost. For all intents and purposes, the man named Bob Cooley died decades ago. But in reality, Bob, he's still very much alive. So your neighbors have no idea who you are?
Oh, no, certainly not.
Does that work out for the best?
No big thing either way. It's not a big thing either way. It's just that, you know, they wouldn't believe it. If I told my story, people wouldn't normally believe it.
That's Bob. I've been interviewing him for the past year, mainly by Zoom. But recently, I visited him in person. He lives in this small ranch house at the edge of a vast desert, somewhere in the American Southwest. I can't tell you the name of the town or even the state where he lives. And that's for Bob's own safety.
I got more on the floor than I got in here.
Bob's now in his late 70s. He has thick glasses and a strong jaw dotted with gray stubble. When we met, he was wearing an old LA Dodgers cap and a t-shirt that said Parental Advisory, Explicit Content, like the labels they used to put on CDs. The house where Bob lives isn't his. He just rents a room in it.
I'll show you my room.
Beside his bed, the floor is cluttered with vats of V8 vegetable juice and cylinders of Pringles. Sort of looks like he's preparing for a hurricane.
Obviously, it's a very small room, but it's got a bed. That's where I sleep.
Well, so are all your worldly possessions in this room?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
It wasn't always like this for Bob. Back before he vanished, before he ran for it, Bob lived a very different life. He was a big-time lawyer in Chicago.
I used to run around with thousands of dollars in my pocket and pick up everybody's checks and whatever. I would buy the most expensive thing thinking it was the best.
Bob drove around in a gleaming convertible, wore a hefty gold chain, partied at the nightclubs on Rush Street, gambled with the bookies, and dined out with the city's judges. But that was then. Today, he survives on Social Security and lives in this tiny room at the edge of the desert, basically in hiding.
Do you have any of your old IDs that you had under your fake names?
Oh, yeah.
Can you show them to me?
Bob leads me over to his closet and pulls out a big stack of IDs and credit cards. It looks like what you might find at the lost and found at a ballpark. The name varies on each of these, but the face is the same, just a little older each time. Bob points at one ID, an old driver's license.
He died about 10 years ago.
That's you. That's a different one. Why did he die 10 years ago?
Apparently he must have had an unfortunate accident or something. He suddenly disappeared from the face of the earth.
Wait, hold on. Here's another photo license.
There's another one.
That's a fourth name. Yeah. What happened to this guy?
Yeah, he had an accident too. A lot of these guys had some very bad accidents.
And that's how it goes with Bob. He assumes one identity for a few years, pretending to be some guy in some random town. Until Bob feels that itch, like he's not safe. Then that guy dies. The ID gets tossed in this pile, and Bob becomes someone else. And let me assure you, there is a reason for all this paranoia, very good reason, a backstory that explains it all, a saga, really. Back in his heyday, when Bob Cooley was still Bob Cooley, he was the man in Chicago. People around town knew him as a high-priced criminal defense lawyer. But to the city's gangsters, to the mob, he was much more than this. He was their guy, their insurance policy. Sure, he could argue a case well enough, but if need be, he could also fix a case, place the right bribe with just the right judge, and get precisely the right verdict. He was like a get-out-of-jail-free card, only his services weren't free. And Bob, he was more than just a hired hand. He was part of an elite cadre of men. They were backed by the mob, or the Chicago Outfit, as it's known. They basically ran the city of Chicago. Their power base was the First Ward, one of the city's most powerful districts. It was a political machine run by gangsters.
They had complete control over the sheriff's department, the attorney general's office, the police department, all the courts. They controlled absolutely everything. So mobsters realized if they did anything, they had absolute protection for it.
Bob Cooley did the bidding of the First Ward and the Outfit for almost a decade. Until one day in the spring of 1986, when he decided to betray them. He just walked into a prosecutor's office and started talking.
I regret having walked into that man's office like I did. You know, probably the worst regret of my life, but nothing I can do about that. I jumped off the building.
It's a decision that, even now, 35 years later, still baffles people. Why did he do it? People are still arguing about this. Not just that, there are court cases going on right now, where they're discussing what Bob did.
And how old were you when the shooting which resulted in your incarceration occurred?
I was 18 years old.
There are guys in prison hoping to get out by invoking Bob's name and the secrets he revealed. Bob's legacy is still shrouded in controversy, but here's one thing that most people can agree on. After Bob Cooley flipped, the city of Chicago was never quite the same.
Thanks for listening to that preview of the new season of Deep Cover, Mobland. You can hear the rest of the story right now by searching for Deep Cover in your podcast app or wherever you like to listen. And just for fun, here's one more clip.
Coming up on season 2 of Deep Cover.
For approximately 5 years, a Chicago lawyer has been a government informant, secretly recording conversations with some of this city's movers and shakers. The identity of this informant will come as a shock to some powerful people.
I can say with all certainty, I think he's a hero because he didn't have to do what he did, and he did it anyway.
Well, I can see how people would think that, you know, because Cooley is very manipulative, but he just sort of got away with murder.
And he said, don't ever tell us what to do. He said, nobody wears a wire on us and lives to talk about it.